All right. Well, welcome everybody to episode 3 of the Climate Action Homes website. I'm Joan Gregerson and I'm here with Linnea Bjorkman. And we're so excited to be talking with you about food gardening and permaculture and all kinds of fun stuff that's happening. And before we get too far, I want to give you a quick introduction to what this Climate Action Homes podcast is all about. I'm a real estate agent with York Castle Realty, and my mission is to bring my environmental background and link it with real estate so that people, as you're buying a home, investing, selling, living in a home, that I'm sharing some stories of what people are doing to improve the environment, to reduce our carbon footprint. And I think a lot of these are easier and closer to us than we imagine. And that's why I wanted to bring Linnea on to talk about all the cool stuff that she is doing with her company, which is called the Whole Root Wonder. So welcome, Linnea.
Oh, thank you so much, Joan. It's a pleasure to be chatting with you.
Yeah, so nice to have you. So before we get too far into this, do you want to give us kind of a quick background of like where you are and how you got started with this whole idea of this Whole Root Wonder and helping people figure out how to grow their own food?
Well, I certainly always start off my food growing journey by saying that my mom actually was the first one to teach me how to grow food. And she taught me how to plant the seeds. And I remember the neighbor kids always thought we were eating leaves from the trees, but we were just like picking random pieces of lettuce and stuffing it in our mouth. And then as soon as I was an adult person and had land to grow on, I've been growing gardens. So my first years in Denver, I was in Capitol Hill kind of like year two, three, 4 years here and there at different apartments. And I always say that I've left a garden wherever I've gone. And some of them were community gardens and some of them I built with loved ones of mine. And I just love it. And so I just continued learning and growing. And I've in more recent years taken a permaculture design course with the Grow House. And so that was in 2014. And I've helped a couple different communities create community gardens in North Denver and Adams County. And I took a leap. Well, I'll back up and tell you that I had a supervisor at one point that asked me, if you had your dream job, what would you be wearing? What clothing would you be wearing? And I said, well, a third of the time I would be wearing my yoga clothes. And a third of the time I would be wearing my gardening clothes or farming clothes. And then a third of the time I would be wearing something casual or something a little bit dressy. And so I decided that it was time to create my own organization where I could do just that. And so that's what I've done. And so two of the things that I'm doing, one, I'm wearing yoga clothes, I'm teaching yoga. and the other, I'm teaching intentional gathering and purposeful gathering with a model called the Circle Way. But the third thing is teaching people how to grow their own food. And so I've created my dream job, and I'm helping folks both individually and in group settings with just trying to keep it simple. I'm trying to help people know how simple it is to grow your own food. And that's what I'm up to.
That's a great example of visioning, kind of that idea of like writing down your goals and what's your ideal job and being able to pull those things out of the air, but then going ahead and making them your reality. And I wonder too, if going forward, if people can't have more of that, you know, instead of this idea of like that you just have to focus on one thing, mm-hmm. because it is so nice, like yoga and gardening and gathering, they all support each other. It's, you know, I mean, I think our idea like that you have to specialize may come at the expense of some of those other parts that could end up leaving you feeling very balanced.
Yes. Yeah. I in creating Whole Root Wonder, I've actually gotten against the advice of most people that gave me advice, which was like, start with one thing and see how that goes. And I'm like, but I don't want to do just one thing. And so far in the first, you know, 6 months, I've actually been rather successful at doing all three things. So
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I say that I actually have like a fourth outfit now, which is pajamas, because I'm actually wearing pajamas a lot of the time. But maybe it won't be that way after the pandemic.
Yeah, I think all of us got pretty happy about that. Yeah. Like, oh, just going for comfort over some of the other aspects. Yeah. So that's really cool. All right. So let's talk about the food gardening and the permaculture. The reason that I reached out to you, I think one of the main reasons is as I'm now working in the real estate field, I'm getting a little bit more of an inside look to how some of the decisions are made and how quick they happen. And you know, sometimes I'll hear somebody saying, oh, there's a lawn and we need to tear out the lawn and put in a new lawn real quick. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, why is this who was saying that? Brigitte Mars and Bethy Lovelight. I spoke with them on the Green Team Academy podcast, and they were talking about that and how it's the only crop that we fertilize and water and harvest but never eat. So part of what I'm trying to do is make sure that people are acquainted with folks like you when they have those decisions of what should I do with, you know, I've got this space, I'd like to do something kind of cool, but I don't have the skills, and it, like, I'm not sure what are the, maybe starting with that, with some of the misconceptions that people have about growing their own food, and how you kind of address that and overcome that with the kinds of services that you're offering with Whole Root Wonder.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that I have done is For one, I try to keep it simple and not put a lot of pressure on myself. And gardening, there's such lovely overlap with like yoga and mindful living that we can really focus on how we're cultivating our union with the earth. And it just should be a joyful, fun thing. And there are, you know, little frustrations along the way. Pests might decimate a crop one year or whatever. And there's like a process of learning to let go of the outcome and just enjoy the process. And so when speaking of grass, one of the practices that's really common among permaculturalists is sheet mulching. And it's actually extremely easy to just create layers of organic matter directly on top of grass or weeds or whatever to create a fertile garden bed. And so tips and tricks like that, I think are really helpful because it just makes it easier to, you know, one of the permaculture principles has to do with accomplishing more with less work. And it really is possible.
So I was thinking maybe we should say what permaculture is, actually, before we get too far, because I just finished my first permaculture design course. And I love everything about it. But how about give a little bit of an introduction to what is permaculture and how that informs what you're doing. And by the way, I love that idea about the yoga and the mindful living. And, you know, it's the same way with music and everything. People love music, but then you might take piano lessons and get to where you really don't like it because you're all the pressures around it, or sports, movement, anything. Uh-huh. I think can be, kind of turned into a negative experience if we have all those expectations and pressures that are self-imposed or things that we allow. So that's a good point, that if you feel stress at the idea of gardening, it's, you don't necessarily have to, you can kind of reframe that.
Well, in terms of the question of what is permaculture, maybe we can riff on, back and forth a little bit, because I feel like it's such a huge topic. But the concept of permaculture includes various principles and practices that create a sustainable world and culture. And one of my favorite definitions from one of my teachers is that permaculture is a revolutionary redesign of human culture to be permanently sustainable. Mm. And the best kind of like picture I can paint in your mind of it is that we're trying to create what naturally occurs in like a forest. You may have even heard people talk about creating food forests. And so there's always an upper story and a mid story and a lower story, and you've got all the little creepy crawly plants. And then underneath that is the microorganisms and all the fungi and everything. And all of it is just this constant cycle of falling and nutrients rising back up and then falling again. And so that's what we get to create with any land that we have. And if we can do that, if we can reutilize our resources and replenish the earth instead of sapping it, that's kind of like the broad overview of what
I agree. And I think maybe it's meant to be in contrast to what a lot of the kind of conventional agriculture does, which is degrading the land. So each year it may need more fertilizers, be less productive. And the idea about permaculture is to turn that around, make it more of a regenerative system. The other thing that in one of my permaculture classes, I heard Michael Alcazar saying that it's one of the best ways to capture what a lot of the indigenous practices are. So, or it's a way to kind of convey a lot of those ideas of working with nature instead of against nature. So, it's a really cool place to start. And I love the idea of doing as little as possible. Some of the tours that we had, when we went and spoke with David Braden, and with everything that he said, I used to do it this way. And then he just kept finding ways to do less and less. And I think that's cool. That's where the ingenuity and the creativity come in, rather than trying to do more and more, trying to do less and less and have nature have its way, for sure.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about, let's say that somebody is, maybe it's someone that they ride their bike, they go hiking, they recycle, and they're just like, I really feel that it would be important to grow some of my own food, maybe for myself or my community or for my kids or family, or friends. So where do you start with something like that?
Well, I'm really excited to have people help me create this, because I know that, you know, I've been offering this in different ways in the community and with individuals. But I feel a sense of like flexibility with how different people might want the support that I have to offer. And so I'll just give you like an example is someone who's actually a dear teacher of mine. I've actually become her teacher as well. Her name is Buffy. And I planned out a 4-session kind of consultation plan for her. And I created a sliding scale, which is on my website. I think the sliding scale is 70 to 120, somewhere in there. And I want to work with people on what, you know, feels good to you and is sustainable for us both. And so over the course of a year, then we'll meet at least 4 times. And then she can take advantage of working with me additional times or getting, like she was at the store a couple months ago trying to find a certain type of compost and which one was it, and I could respond and help her with that. And so with a 4-meeting option, we're meeting in the fall about how can you build soil for that's going to be ready to go in the spring, and how can you plant garlic that'll be ready to harvest in July. And then in this month, actually next week, we're going to meet about looking at all the different seed catalogs and deciding, you know, what do you like to eat? And if you like to eat it, you should try to grow it. And then, you know, to just talking about how much space she has available and where her water source is. And then working into, you know, March and April when she can really start planting seeds indoors if she wants, or cold season crops outside. I kind of walk her through that. And then into the summer and fall, we'll have another consultation where I'll be able to answer any questions she has about harvesting and pruning and trellising tomatoes and, you know, whatever she's growing, it'll just be based on that. So, and then another way that, actually there's 2 more active ways that people can work with me. I'm teaching some courses with the Colorado Free University. And you can just go to their website and search for Linnea Bjorkman, and they'll all be listed there. There's some basic food gardening classes that kind of is going to do an overview, really fast overview. And then there's more in-depth classes throughout the year so that you can work with me seasonally and kind of go more in depth on different topics and ask questions that you have of all the little things that come up along the way. And then I also have a Patreon page. It's just patreon.com/wholerootwonder. And patrons receive not just food gardening and permaculture content, but also yoga and meditation practices. And I see such a lovely overlap in how the two kind of work together. And so it's fun to have that in one platform. And patrons actually get discounts on the consultation services. So it's a little perk.
That's cool. So you're really providing people lots of different ways to jump in, whether it's on the Patreon, paying a little bit per month, mm-hmm. and kind of supporting what you're doing and having access to you, or doing the consultations themselves. And what do you think, Linnea, is kind of the main reason that people are coming to you and saying they want to grow their own gardens now? Like, do you feel like things are happening a little differently, or what are you finding?
Yeah, I'm finding that there are people that have like a romantic idea of gardening and they've always wanted to try it, but they feel intimidated by it and they want like a real person to walk them through it. You know, I think that it's more fun that way than just like Googling it or reading a book. So I love that. And I think people are really eager, especially with the pandemic. I think it's like another, you know, instance in our history where we're like, oh, we might need to fend for ourselves and like know how to feed ourselves. And just growing and preserving food is such a lovely way to nourish ourselves and connect with the earth. And people have a lot of time right now because can't really do all the things that we used to do. And it's just such a rewarding way to pass the time. And once you are starting to harvest out of your own garden, it inspires you to then look up recipes that will be tasty with those food items. And it's just starts a snowball of kind of exciting life journey.
Yeah. And I do think that we are still, you know, trying to figure out ways to do things outdoors and do things together and find meaning. And there's still things that we're not able to do, you know, having big family gatherings or, you know, going to big, whatever it is, music festivals or,
yeah,
or anything along those lines. Uh-huh. So that through the pandemic, this is always an option, is really cool. And I think for me, one of the things I've found too, is because I've been house sitting and a couple months here and a couple months there. So one of the things that I've been doing is sprouting seeds, because that's something that I can do no matter where I am. And even that little thing, like I brought them to one of the Christmas events that I did, and it was just like very small. I mean, they're not much to them, but it was like, it has its own magic for sure.
Yeah. Once you go on my website, which is wholerootwonder.com, you'll see, I think there's one of me and maybe a friend of mine of carrying these giant squash. They're like just huge. And being able to share like an abundance with friends and family, and also your neighbor, it builds this community because your neighbors start asking, like I had a neighbor this year ask me, is your soil, do you have bionic soil? The corn is like taller than the house, and so no, it's just sheet mulching.
Wow.
So it creates more conversation and connection, and you know, I'm passing like tomatoes and, oh, do you need some kale today? So that's lovely.
Yeah, it is, right. And I think so, I guess my last question to you is, how I see this as a climate action, but when you think of gardening and some of the carbon reduction possibilities, not just, you know, environmentally, there's a lot of positives to it, but do you think of it as far as actually reducing carbon? Like, let's say everybody grew their own food. What are some of the areas that you think it would make an impact?
Yeah. Man, I really notice how much less I need to purchase in the grocery store. And the foods that we purchase in the grocery store, even if they're fresh fruits and vegetables, can sometimes come from just hundreds, if not thousands of miles away. And so if you just think of one less thing that needed to transport to you, or to you finally eating it, not to mention how much tastier a homegrown tomato is than store-bought. And then when you're growing your own food, you're making a conscious choice to, you know, sometimes permaculture is known as beyond organic, because you're, you're making choices about each individual thing that you do that, you know, is contributing to not only the food, but also the environment and the creatures that inhabit your environment. And so all of those make a difference, not using pesticides and using something more natural that's not going to kill off all the good organisms. And
yeah, that's a good point. Like that pesticide use that I think is, you know, requires an amount of carbon, you know, increases the amount of carbon in the whole process of manufacturing that and distributing that. Mm-hmm. I also think, you know, there's some more fringe benefits that we could talk about, like that just the thing of people being able to interact, do stuff in their own community and not always have to go out. But I think also when you were mentioning about your bionic soil, that regenerating the soil is also another way to reduce our carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Using that carbon and transforming it. And yeah, for sure.
Yeah. My kind of carbon sequestration aspects of healthy soil like that. So yeah, so it's interesting to think about the soft aspects as well as the, you know, more measurable, for sure. I remember hearing the number that the average Caesar salad traveled 1,500 miles to get to you. So yeah, looping back to your initial story of you guys picking random leaves out of your garden and eating them, that definitely cuts out that whole middleman type of thing. And I think the other thing is like just being connected to nature, because we don't know. When I lived in South Korea, there was a fruit truck. And I think when I was growing up, there was a fruit truck also, and it would come by with all kinds of fruit. But where I was in Korea, each time he came, he had one fruit, and it was whatever was in season.
Yeah. So
I would buy a whole case of like melons, and I would just eat that all week. And, you know, at a different time, it was strawberries. But I really got the sense of the seasonality of things and what order they come in that we really don't get when we're going to the grocery store. So that's another part. I think just being connected to nature is a way to start appreciating it and you know, carving out that extra time and energy in your life. And as you're making decisions, like where you're buying your home or what you're going to invest in, and you know, being able to make some of those decisions that we're going to feel better about when our kids and grandkids are going, what were you doing? Why were you so busy that you couldn't think about us? So this is a way to help people make that connection and be thinking about it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we shared the links there to Linnea's website, Whole Root Wonder, and her Patreon page, and as well the Colorado Free University classes. So thank you so much, Linnea, for all the cool work that you're doing, and I'm really happy to have made your acquaintance. That was through Lee Recca, my permaculture teacher.
Yeah, and actually I need to that reminds me, I really want to just thank you for thinking of this and for having me on your podcast. And then among my patrons is Lee Recca, and I would like to thank my precious patrons for supporting all the work that I'm doing, and yeah, thank you again, Joan. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been awesome. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And stay tuned. We've got a lot of really fun podcast episodes coming up. We'll be talking about how to put solar on your home and programs for people that are, whether you're a lower income or, you know, any way that you might want to get solar. We are also looking at some community solar folks coming on here. We will be talking with Katrina from the Grateful Garden about some seed saving workshops she has coming up. So all kinds of cool things here. And I hope that when you are thinking about buying, selling, investing, living in your home with a lower carbon footprint, that you will remember this conversation and go, yeah, I can do this. And that there's people out there that can help you and want to help you make that happen. So I hope that you'll reach out to me as well as to Linnea. And with that, we'll sign off. So thanks again, Linnea, and everybody have a beautiful night.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.